This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. He's an actor who originated the role of Elder Price in The Book of Mormon on Broadway and appeared as Elijah in the HBO series Girls. He currently stars in Showtime's Wall Street comedy Black Monday, Andrew Rannells. Hello.
Hello.
So I understand that when you were a kid, like, well, 13 years old, that you would watch the Tony Awards with your mom.
Yes.
And you would record them on the VHS, and I assume because you wanted to watch them again.
Yeah, very much so.
Were there any particular performances or?
Yeah, the year Falsettos was I believe that was 92, and then 93 was a real good one. It was Kiss of the Spider Woman, Blood Brothers, Ooh. The Who's Tommy. So yeah, so I would record those and rewatch those numbers. It was before the YouTube.
Yeah.
So you couldn't just Google it.
Did anyone ever record over one?
That did happen. I remember because my family, we recorded Grease. The movie Grease was like the ABC Thursday night movie one year. And we recorded it, and that the end of Grease got recorded over, and that was a travesty. I know. And probably for like a Knots Landing. You know what I mean? Like it didn't, in
right.
my child mind, it did not warrant.
Right. Oh, like a Wednesday not. Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
Or
I was
like
no. We need to keep Grease solid. Yeah. We finally got my mother to throw away. She had one of those TV VCR combos that she kept for the longest time. And my sister Natalie and I were like, ma'am, you must get rid of this. It does not serve a purpose in your life. So she finally got rid of it. And she, much to her horror, we made her trash that.
Yeah.
It's like, what VHS are you watching, lady?
I know. So in 2011, I was one of the, I would say, lucky ones to see you on Broadway in The Book of Mormon, the musical written by the South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone. You originated the role of Elder Price, and I saw it in previews.
Oh, wow. You got in early.
I did, and that was still when, after the first number, some people were so offended, they got up and walked out.
Yeah.
I mean, as a actor in like seeing that happen, how did it feel?
It was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It was pretty exciting that we were, because there was two walkout points. There was the walkout after the opening number that people were like, this is just, they're making fun of Mormons and this is so ridiculous. And then when Elder Price and Elder Cunningham, Josh Gad and I, get to Uganda, and there's a number where the Ugandans sort of explain their theory about life and religion. That was also a big walkout point. But it didn't happen that often, but yes, it did. When it did happen, it felt like we were a part of something special.
absolutely.
I had never been a part of a show that people, I mean, the other two Broadway shows that I had done were Hairspray and Jersey Boys, and there's not exactly a lot of controversy in either of those shows.
There's not two walkout points in Jersey Boys?
No.
There's not two walkout points?
No, everybody loved Jersey Boys. So so that was a very exciting part, to see people that maybe wouldn't generally go to see a musical come and sort of experience it in a different way. And I felt the same way. I popped into Hamilton right after they opened, and I did it for about 5 weeks, just filling in for Jonathan Groff. And I make it sound like I was a temp when I say it like that. But,
no,
but I was a temp.
but a rather impressive temp job.
It was a temp job at Hamilton. And that felt the same way, that like, the audience were, it was a lot of people who were like, I don't like musicals. And you're like, well, but, you know, it can be a lot of things.
Right. It can push buttons. It can change where the line of comedy crosses.
Yep. We crossed that line.
Yeah,
we certainly crossed that line.
Back and forth across the line.
Yep. Yeah.
But you've also done a ton of voice work for cartoons.
Yes.
You did voices for Saturday morning cartoons in the early 2000s.
Yes.
You're in Big Mouth.
Big Mouth, which is not a children's show.
Not a
Let's
children's
make that
show.
Very clear.
Yeah.
It's not for children.
Right. So you voice the character of Matthew MacDell, who is a gay middle schooler. And on your Instagram, actually, you shared a fairly recent New York Times opinion piece that was entitled Big Mouth is the Queer Childhood I Wish I Had. And the writer talks about how your character has this confidence to be himself and his friends are accepting, which was someone that the writer said that he wishes he experienced that as a kid. Was that something that you identified with?
Very much so. And I thought, you know, when Nick Kroll, one of the creators of the show, and he asked me to do it, he was like, yes, you are playing the gay character. He was like, but you're kind of, you're the gay bully, which I had never been pitched before, that like the gay kid was also the bully and the one who had the most power in middle school. And I thought that was a very interesting way into that character, and not just have it be like, and then there's a gay kid, because I've certainly done a lot of that. I hear from younger folks who do watch the show, and I think Matthew does have a level of confidence that I certainly wish that I had in middle school. And yet, we still, you know, when Matthew came out to his family and Matthew got his first boyfriend, like, it's not without some anxiety and some concern. Like, there is, I think they handled the coming out episode really well. I'm very proud of that show, and it kind of snuck up on me a little bit, because sometimes you do things, you know, that you feel like are probably going to be a one-off, or, you know, well, we'll see how this goes. But that, we just finished our fifth season, recording our fifth season. It hasn't come out yet. And it's really, I'm just very proud of it. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
And you currently star, as we were mentioned at the top, in the Showtime series Black Monday. The show follows the employees of a Wall Street trading firm in the year leading up to the international stock markets crash in 1987, and you play Blair, an aspiring stockbroker. So this event obviously played a lot in people's lives, but also knowing that these characters are going to experience a downfall is so fun for the viewer.
Well, and not only do they experience it, but they cause it, which I thought was a big swing on our writer's part, to be like, you know what? What if we figure out a way for this group of people, for me and Don Cheadle and Regina Hall, to actually cause the 1987 stock market crash? And they did it. But it's such a funny group of people to go to work with every day. I tell my younger sister, I will call her and tell her stories from work. She's like, I can't believe that's your job. That you just like sit in a room and like Regina Hall just makes you laugh all day. Like, that seems like such an odd job for you as an adult. So I'm very lucky.
What's Regina's Hall style of comedy? Is she a pratfall person? Is she a word nerd? What is she?
It's not pratfall so much. I will say, if you ever have the opportunity to attend an HR seminar, even over Zoom, with Regina Hall, definitely take it. You should do it.
Wow. I would watch this show. This sounds amazing. Yeah.
By the way, do you remember, I mean, you were just a kid when this stock market crash actually happened. Do you remember any of that?
Or? No, not at all. And I had to do I'm not going to lie, I didn't do that much research, but I read an article. And
that's enough. I feel like that's research, yeah. More than the headline, research.
Yeah, I read the article, and maybe it was a blurb. But in any event, I did have to learn about that stock market crash. No, I was, in 87, I was not aware of that. And I don't think I didn't ask my mother, like, if that affected their finances at all. I don't think that it did, really, in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But it might have, on some level.
Yeah.
I should have asked.
Well, there's time.
Damn it.
There's time. All right. Andrew, are you ready for your Ask Me Another Challenge?
I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited.
Excellent. Andrew, before the show, you told us that you love HGTV.
Yo, sure.
And what was your first entry into the HGTV world?
Probably, like a lot of people, was like on TLC, actually, which was like Trading Spaces.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was a huge fan of that and made a lot of disastrous design choices to my own homes based on that program. A lot of color blocking, a lot of feature walls. So I had the right intention, just not the right skill or taste. But I did try.
just by saying color blocking and accent wall, you've like set up what our game is. Because as we were researching this, we found a very helpful glossary of jargon frequently used on the show. So we figured we'd put your home trend vocabulary to the test in a game we call HGTV ABCs.
Oh.
So I'm going to ask you what a little bit of jargon, you'll describe what it is. If you're like, I would like multiple choice, I can also give you multiple choice.
Okay.
So let's start easy. What is subway tile?
Subway tile is a very classic. It's usually white rectangular tile that is quite literally used in the subway. But yeah, it's just a very classic traditional tile.
That's it. Yeah, it's 3-inch by 6-inch tiles found in New York City subway stations ever since the early 1900s, and it was supposed to evoke a sort of cleanliness and help reflect light in those underground stations.
And that turned out well for the New York City subway system. Nailed it, guys! Nailed it.
The perfect place for my Sharpie.
Yep.
All right, here's another one. What is a Dutch door?
Is a Dutch door, it's like the swinging door. It's like a farm sort of house door where you have the option of just opening the top or opening the bottom of it.
That's exactly right. It's split horizontally into two halves and they open independently. And it's the original purpose was to let fresh air in and keep the animals out, which
perfect.
Sounds like a good
plan. Often featured on Hee Haw.
yes, indeed.
Yes. Exactly. You might know it from Hee Haw.
You're only supposed to open it to say a joke. That's really the purpose of it.
You just swing in and then swing out.
And that's it. Okay, what is a vessel sink?
Ooh, a vessel sink, I personally don't care for them, but it's like a bowl on top of the vanity. That's like, you see them a lot in restaurants.
Yes.
They have like, it's usually like a, yeah.
So like I'm not a fan of them either. Why are you not a fan of them?
It just is messy.
The water splashes everywhere.
Out. Yeah, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, like a salad bowl of dirty soap and water.
I feel like they're in Key West a lot. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense,
What an insult.
No, It's just an idea.
Yeah, we're just saying ideas here. We're just asking questions.
This is a safe space.
This is a safe space, yeah. All right, what is a German smear?
Oh, is that a German smear is like, it's a, I guess you would do it, well, you could do it on a wall, but I think it's mostly on the exterior of houses. It's like a, not putty. It's like a, you know, you're like spackling, you're doing sort of a broad strokes, kind of messy kind of spackle on a wall.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly on exteriors, but yeah.
It's a brick whitewashing technique. So yeah, and you use mortar and water and you create a white wall with the brick kind of poking through. German smear.
Exposed brick that doesn't want to be so exposed. Modest brick.
Yes.
It's modest brick.
You're making something look like it's a little dilapidated in a way that is supposed to be cool, I guess. I don't know.
It's brick exposing itself but remaining a little bit coy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well done, Jonathan.
Oh, thank
it's you. It's the ripped jeans of walls.
ripped jeans, ripped jeans of brick walls. That's right.
That's correct.
Okay, got it. All right, what is object art?
Is that like when you just have like a whimsical typewriter on a like just like a sickle for no reason that's just lying on a shelf?
Totally. Totally. I love a whimsical typewriter.
You know, just
he's
toss
so
that up there.
Smart. Look at his whimsical typewriter.
I love the HGTV has all of these home staging shows now, like when you're trying to sell your house or, you know, and inevitably there's always a typewriter. Why?
Right.
Why? Yeah. Or like an old-timey telephone. Let's slap that
right.
on.
Right. It's like paper. It's like the buyers are going to say, oh, look, this is where we could keep our riding crop. And,
this is
and
where...
Ben Franklin glasses. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, just lay it on a book, on an open book.
On an open book.
Yes, you are right, just to be clear. Object art is just literally hanging objects on the wall.
All right, this is the last one. What is a cased opening?
A cased opening?
Hmm. I can give you multiple choice if you feel as though you need it.
I mean, is that just like, like an entryway that is has crown molding on it?
Yeah, I mean, basically.
It's
essentially, it's an opening in a wall with trim on it that looks like there should be a door there, but there's no door there. It's a doorless door.
Like an archway.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Okay, okay. See, you guys, I didn't lie.
No, you really, I mean, we had all these multiple choices ready for you, but you didn't need a single one because you had it all spent cold.
Way too much time watching these shows.
Just enough time.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for enabling me. I will continue to watch.
I think everybody right now who has a cased opening in their homes is like, you know what we need there? A door.
Yeah, let's build a door. It's coming back. That's what's going to happen with all of these houses that, you know, open concept. Everybody
That's
loves
right.
an open concept. People are going to start building walls again and be like, you know what? I don't want to see my kitchen. And I don't really need to see my kids play. I actually would prefer to hide. I love when people are like, well, we really want open concept because I want to keep an eye on the kids. No, the kids don't want you to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, they'll find another space. Trust me.
Yeah, they'll find another space. A door.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. My main thing in a house I'm looking for is boundaries.
Yes, clear boundaries.
Yeah, I need physical walls so I don't erect emotional ones in front of my family.
Thank you so much. You aced that. You aced that.
Ow! Well, thank you. I feel like you really set me up to succeed, so I appreciate it.
That's what we do here. Yeah.
Andrew Randall stars in the Showtime series Black Monday. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is so much fun. They're not. Yeah. They don't always go that way. Sometimes shows are terrible, and this was not one of them. So thank you.
I take that as a
that's
huge
a pull
compliment.
Quote. That's a pull quote. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Today's puzzles were written by our staff, along with Mary Tobler, Jonathan Zeller, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, and Ramel Wood, with Gianna Capodona. Our senior producer is Travis Larchuk. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. And our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.